This interview is with Miss Mildred Allen, a longtime resident of Urbana. Miss Allen was born here in Urbana on November 29th, 1901. Miss Allen's family has lived here since 1865. This interview is being conducted on August the 3rd, 1983 at 811 West Clark, Urbana. The interviewers are Melinda Roundtree and Patrick Tyler, representing the Urbana Free Library Archives Department. November
29th, 1901. My childhood looked about like anybody else. It played like everybody else did. My mother's parents came here in 65. And there, you have the names on there. And then her sister, Mr. and Mrs. Lewis, they came here in 1863. And that's, and I haven't lived anywhere but by the Champaign River. It's like the mountains they are about. And I guess maybe the civil rights did open up for some, you know, people. Yeah, to help us a little bit. But not quite as much here as you might say in the South and with the life. Because people didn't, the Negroes didn't start coming up here until about 1910, 11, because they came up to give their children education at the university and get jobs up here. And so that's when they started. But when I was a child, I guess you could say you could count all the Negro families on one hand, on two hands. And they did open some places naturally for the public because that was one of the things Kroger was for. And I think it helped some. Well, no, one thing, it got us a place where you could live more anywhere with whites and blacks. Now, when I came up, you could do that then, wherever you had money. When you had the money, but you could get it. Now, but when most of the people, other people when they came here, were from the South and they were used to colored neighborhoods. So they started out in the Northeast, part of Champaign, out on Poplar Street, and all those places out there. And so funny, they just got a real good Negro neighborhood out that way. Then they had got to the place where so many colored people were coming up here that they tried to keep them in front. And when the trains would stop here, where a lot of people get off, they watched the train, because the black people was in the back train, coaches. And they would watch. And a lot of times, they kept telling me that some of the colored people who had relatives here would have to throw their bags out along the highway up there. And then when the train slowed down, they'd jump off that way. But the police did watch the trains pretty good because they didn't want so many Negroes coming up here. But that came from because they couldn't, you know, you couldn't get too many. And I have always lived because they Champaign their bound. Ask me what I brought up here, yes.
What did you do at what house if you leave the street on?
Well, when first when I was a child, we lived with my grandparents, my mother. And then we also lived up on the Battle Street, 309 West Nevada. We lived there until we came here, and we've been here about 69 years.
What year did you come to this
house?
Do you remember what year
you
lived?
About 4 years. Well, I was 12. So you can kind of remember. And that's about all. Let's see what else you want to know. What type of people were in the community that year? Well, where I lived was all white, and there was very few colored up in the east and the south part of Quebec. Now my grandmother lived on the corner of Vine and Elm, where the Lincoln Square parking lot was, and her daughter Stella lived out on East California. 607 in California, and we lived here. Then Mr. and Mrs. Ed Milam lived over here on Park Street, and there was a Mrs. Dyson who lived in the 400 block on West Oregon Street, and that's about as far as it went as far as colored people, of course, now. It's because we were coming, because it worked once on the town. Yeah, it worked, but as far as the actual people in the community, that's as far as I remember. And what else do you want?
Do you know why your parents, they sell beer in Champagne? Why don't they come here?
Well, I guess more than, I can't tell you why they came, I imagine. As I say, my grandmother's sister was already here, and too probably it was thought maybe to have a chance of better education at the university when they got where they go. So I guess that's the main reason. And let's see what else we got.
How about your, could you tell us about the schools that you attended?
I was the only college person in the school that I went to. I went to the Leo School up in Oregon and Birch. I was the only college. And then my cousin, let's say Stella Melton, mother and father lived out on, grandparents lived out on California. And their children went to Weber School. And that's as far as I went. Now, I don't know, but I guess most of the colored children who were living in Champaign went to Marquette, I guess. But over here in Urbana, we just had the two schools. And of course, we had Carmen. And that's as far as I was. You know, I went 2 years through high school, that's as far as I went. And when my mother came along, they was building the Thornburn to be a high school, and she went 1 year there, so that was considered she was in high school. But she had to leave the school in order to help her mother raise her younger sister, who was just a baby at that time. So that's as far as the education is concerned. My brother, he did as well. He went to Thornburn and University High. But he didn't graduate. And of course my son, Richard, he went to school here and he graduated from the University in 1950. What else you got, Danny? I'd rather you'd ask me than
that. I asked, how was it being the only black at Leo School?
Well, it was pretty good because at the Leo School, the majority of the children were children from university professors who had come from other parts of the country, who had been used to being around Negroes and Indians. So it was pretty good. I didn't have any trouble whatsoever. And then when we came down here, when I moved here, and when I moved here, I went to Lincoln up here. I didn't have any trouble here because there's already two colored children already there, Carlos Burton and Mary Scott. So I never had any trouble whatsoever. Well, there's, of course, you know, there's some people going to try to call your names and things like that, but very seldom, very seldom.
Okay, what kind of work did you do?
I didn't have a job. The first thing I did was, the only thing work that I did was, my mother and I did laundry work, and we did that together, and then, in 75, I got a chance to get a job through the Older Workers Program as a project. I had projects with the children, and I've been away from that for a year. This Friday, so for a year now I haven't done anything. But from 75 on to last. I did projects with the kids. And first I started out with Head Start with Shirley Mock and Mrs. Grady. And then the next I went to Presbyterian over here in O'Dowd, and I went with Dave Eagle. And then went from there to the Twin City Bible Church. And then from, I stayed there a little over a year and then up to the University of Christian Church. You see, what they tried to do, I don't know whether they're not doing that so much now, but when I was in, first got in, they was trying to move you around about every 13 months, different places. That's when I was, but a year lately, the last few years, they has kind of stopped up because the people got used to it and they liked the work that they did, so they kept along with it. So.
Do you remember, okay, Albert Arby?
Yeah, sure.
Did you were on when you were here or something like that? I saw your name as a member of, I think it was some kind of organization or something.
Me?
Yes, ma'am. Or maybe it was a church or something. Do you remember? Well, it was okay. He was involved in the masonry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I saw your name on something. I don't know what it
was.
Yeah, yeah. I belonged to the Curtis Lang Guild.
Okay, that's
right. An auxiliary of the shrine.
Okay.
That was a princess, right?
Yeah. I don't know what we called ourselves. I just remember.
Yeah, because we've been going to the university library and they have three boxes on here.
He's quite prominent. Quite prominent.
Could you tell us some of the things that you remember about
him? About Mr. Lee? Yeah. Well, he was a very, very nice person, and he was a very, very, very good teacher. He was head of our Sunday school board, and he got up a teacher's training course, and he taught us. And we had one phase of it, and then we got into individual, like the Creole. Well, I was in the junior department. I taught the junior phase. And he was getting ready to put us in what's called specialized. And I don't know how come the project would fall through, but we just specialized in class didn't start out. But he was very good, and he was head of the choir, I mean, he was director, president of the choir. And he was a very nice person. Yeah. He was the same age, about the same age group as my mother. We were young together. Dear old streetcars. And in the winter time, they were wooden and they was coated in. And there was seats on each side. And when he started in Urbana, the conductor would get up and go out and put the trolley and bring it around this way so we could head to Champaign. And when we got to Champaign, he had to get out and turn, bring it around so he could get ahead to Urbana. Then in the summertime, we had open streetcars with seats, and the backs would flop over. So when you got ready to go to Champaign, it would flop over this way. Then when you got ready to go to Urbana, it would flop back over this way. But it was fun. You liked it. You couldn't do it in the wintertime, but in the summertime, the young boys, being cute, you know, they liked to stand out on what you call a running board of a car. But that's transportation we had then. And then we had an undertaker by the name of Renners, that they had little cabs, like considerably. They kind of looked like, I don't know whether you've ever seen pictures of them or not, of electric cars that some of these socialite people used to ride in. Have you seen any? It was kind of like that. And they were driven by a couple of horses. And you could go, and then later on, we got cabs, taxi cabs, and you could go from Champaign to Urbana for a nickel, and they kept on going up the bus. Don't do what they are now. You could ride on the bus for a dime. Wasn't too bad. Only thing is, you just had to watch your penny just like you do now. Of course, the men didn't get very much. As a rule, I think about 35 cents an hour is what they got.
I was wondering about like the newspapers back then. What did they? How were the contents?
I don't know whether it was a courier. We had two papers. The News Gazette, of course, it wasn't called the Gazette at that time. I forget what it was called. And then we had the Courier. Well, the Courier editors loved to use the word nigger. And anything come up about Negroes, it was niggers. So finally, the Negroes got on paper, and so they stopped. So after that, there was no Negro question. Just call it people. When you was a kid, you used to call it colored, and then you gradually stopped being called colored, and it was Negroes. Now everything is black. You just graduated on up.
How was it for you and your family during the war, the first war?
World War One? Well,
you have a relative?
Yes, I had a relative, Cecil Nelson, was in the war. His brother Leslie was in the war. And that's the only two relatives I had in World War One. Of course, Leslie has. They both came back when Leslie didn't live very long. He took sick. Passed away out west somewhere. Of course, you know Cecil, don't you? You did know Cecil. Carrie Nelson wrote about that.
I read some about him.
But you know. People came here not
yet. Did he receive an honor or something?
Oh, yeah, Cecil, yeah.
I was wondering, do you remember back in '60 there was a newspaper called the Illinois Times.
The Illinois Times.
Right. And a black woman, a black woman and her husband, Blanche Harris. Mm-hmm. And her husband, Nicole Evans. Do you remember that?
Yes, yeah, sure.
Were there any other papers like that during the time you've been
there? No.
So black people? Mm-hmm.
No, no paper. We did have a colored group of Mr. Lee's two sons, Albert and Morris. They started up TV things. They were making TVs. But it failed. They couldn't get enough people to back them. You know. Colored people at that time was kind of leery of helping each other. They're really good about it. Yeah.
How about crimes
that came
with it?
Well, the most of the crimes, well, they had some shootings, naturally, but not too much. Not as much as they had. Not naturally, because you find crimes. There wasn't many people. But you know, it was the funniest thing. I said this when I was a kid, I said to my mother, I spoke about, when I was speaking about jail. And she said, how do you have a case? He said, they didn't build jails for Negroes. They built a little white books. There were four white books in jail. And there are Negroes. Well, you know, that put a different light on to me. Because I was thinking, you know, we all black. Everybody in the jails were black people. But as she said, she didn't. We'd have really a jail for black people because there wasn't that many crimes in there. So, no, and after we had a few that would get in there, go in jail, but they wouldn't stay in long. We had one lynching here in town. A man that lived on Park Street, somewhere near where the state children were killed his wife. And they found him up. But they never did that anymore. It was such a horror about that was more.
Where did they hang him at? Over by the courthouse?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what year that was?
No, I don't.
How has the community changed since the news raised now?
Well, I think it's changed quite pretty good to people. You're friendly with the other race more than you were at that time. And you can go in places now, whereas used to you couldn't go into theaters unless they came close. Now we had my grandmother took us to the show quite a bit, and there was a confectioner. Every time she got, we went, she'd always take us over there, and we'd sit at the table and have an ice cream soda. So one night she took us over there, and we sat. So finally, we didn't serve Negroes anymore. Well, that great grandma probably was. So she said, well, you get to Saul Wyman on here. And so he came out. He said, no, Miss Master, don't say not anymore. He said, now you can come and get your ice cream and go. But she said, you don't anymore. He said, the people come in here are loud and they're dirty and the language is not there. Well, we girls used to, on Sunday afternoon, after Sunday school was closed about 4, a little after 4, we'd go to Reiner's confectionery. And Mr. Reiner, that was the man himself, he would let us in. And we'd sit there maybe for an hour and a half, just having our sodas and talk. So one Sunday, the end of summer, the door was open. And you could hear some people talking and swearing, but and it was coming underneath the viaduct there. And of course, I didn't pay any attention, so they, but they must have glanced in and saw us sitting there. Because next Sunday, when we went back, Mr. Reiner had the door locked and the shade down. Well, we couldn't understand it. Well, we kept a shake. So finally, he came at the door and pushed it good. And he didn't like to say, and goes very quick. So we went in, and we said, and so finally, before we got there, he said, oh, you guys, he said, I'm sorry. He said, but you girls can't come in. He said, now you girls are going to act on my ladies. But he says, these fellas, you girls are coming in up from the south. He said they are dirty. He said the same thing. They're dirty, they're loud, and their language is discouraging. So that takes us. Affects that.
You remember Ruth Hines?
Ruth Hines? Sure, Ruth Hines. You were kind of Ruth Hines.
What kind of woman was she? What was she?
She was very nice. She attended the university. And, but once in a while she would do housework if she had.
She remember the organization that you
were
in?
That
Yeah.
Was she
in the
Shriners? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she belonged to her sister Caroline.
What other organizations and clubs that you have been involved
with? That's the only one. And I just got through that Jim O'Flaherty, he was a Mason. And that's the only way I got through it. And then when, for some reason or other, it just dissolved. And it's out of the blue. And so I never tried it.
What kind of work did your father do?
Just a common laborer, whatever. He used to be, his main job was, those days we called him janitor. it used to be the First National Bank, not the Champaign County Bank. He was there for over 35 years. And then he did housework with Professor Wise, everything he did. He worked for quite a few lawyers, and whenever they had a banquet or party or anything in their house, he always served as a waiter and things like that. He never did any yard. Well, I mean, I guess he did do some yard work too.
I remember, some people that we've been talking to, they say, students, black students, they could go to. They can live in a housing on campus in the same community. Did any of the students stay with you?
Yes, I had quite a few girls stay with me. And the last girl I stayed with me, she wasn't a girl, she was a woman. I got word this morning that she passed away. Yeah, she was with me for 18 months. I had another girl from Chicago, she was with me 5 years. And then I had two other girls. They have been until they graduate, one is just 2 years to date. So, I think that was.
You know about what year this was? The years that they stayed?
Well, let's see, I guess my first one was around about 57. I can't get her first name was Effie. What her last name was, I don't know. And then I had another girl by the name of Effie Bennett. She was from out in Oklahoma. She was here the second year that they had the 4th of July parade. Now what year that was, I don't remember. But I remember she was going with a Nigerian, and he asked me to please be sure to take her. He wanted her. That. And then, as I say, this Adorthy Cobb, she stayed with me for 5 years. And then this lady that passed away, she was with me 18 months. She was the last that I had. Well, I had one, but she didn't stay, and I didn't want her to stay because she was a drug addict.
How did you feel when them come to your home at first? Who talked to you about them coming? Who? Yes, ma'am.
Miss Sheldon, Mary Sheldon. She was dealing with me, and we did her laundry. And she was with me before Mama passed away. Well, then she knew that I wouldn't be able to make it on my own. Because what I did though, was I kept up the laundry work that Mom and I had to do for the university. At that time, I was doing laundry work and everything. So I knew I wouldn't do any good there, so I didn't go wrong.
I want to know one. Ask you one thing. Can you remember back in 1923, Albert Lee, the chief, you know, clerk over at the university, at his two brother-in-laws, his two sisters' husband, Howard and Arthur McCurdy.
McCurdy?
Yeah. Do you remember about them, about what had happened that they got sent over to Iowa or Kankakee somewhere to mentor institution?
I know Howard was in the Really had to spend money for was meat. because everybody paid for it. And I say we raised our own vegetables. We did our own cannings. And way back years before I got to the place where I knew anything about the community, a lot of people was making their own butter and buttermilk and things like that out in the rural area. So everybody, I just think that it's tough, but you could get along by your own garden.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
One brother.
What's his name?
John.
How many children do you have?
One.
Mm-hmm. Were you married before you married?
Nope. But you don't need to put that up. People hand down notes, but yeah.
Do you know
Houston
Clark?
I don't believe I do.
Early 1920s, something like that.
Well, I...
Sometime.
The first... Now, I may have remembered many years ago. But the first time that I had heard of him lately was, about 3 years ago, I was at a Ruth Hinder, and he came in. And she asked me, did I remember him? Well, I didn't remember him. But she said, well, he's been here since he was like that. I said, well, he's been like that, but I didn't know. I might have known him when he was a kid, but when you grow up, you change. And I didn't recognize him at all. Yes, I saw him. I didn't recognize
him. How is the government? Have you been a little bit more from people out
there? Yeah, they were talking about people who were white, they looked like it was today.
If, have you heard about, Reverend Jesse Jackson running for president?
Yeah.
If a black runs for president, how would you feel about that?
Well, I tell you, a black is going to get in sometime or another, I feel. But I don't think I would vote for Reverend Jackson, because just as Bond and Andrew Young said the other night on TV, he is more religious than he is political. And I don't think he could run the government on a religious basis. And then another thing, I don't quite think we're ready for that. Well, that may make sense. You'll never be ready, but I don't think it is. It might be another year, but right now. For one thing, we need a few more black people to vote. I don't think a black person would carry on. I mean, you might get quite a few votes, but I mean, as far as Karen did a lot of that, I don't think she did. That's my assumption.
How are the teachers in your school? Do they teach you?
Yeah.
People?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Were black, young blacks motivated? Much less than anyone.
Motivated in what way?
Education
around the back in those days. Well, back in those days, no, because it, that part of the issue hadn't come up yet, as far as motivation. Then you just getting your education. But as you, the years come through, then you start motivation. I don't know how it is in the school. No. But I don't have anyone in school. So I couldn't say. In fact, in those days, it wasn't up to me. I had a motivation for anything. I wanted you to get your education.
Have you traveled anywhere? What places have you gone to?
No, I haven't. I've gone to Dayton and Columbus and all like that, but my life is there. But that's as far as I've gone. I never had any desire to travel. I don't know why. I had a cousin who stayed in there for a while. And she was always going to go someplace, California and around. And she finally, when she left her, she did go to California. But I never... Did you get tired staying in this one-horse town? I said, well, no, why? Well, I would. But I just challenged living my life. I guess for one reason, I knew I didn't have the money that I could travel. So I just didn't mind that. That's the only reason I because if I had the money, I had the money, I would go.
You attend Bethel Church. Did that attend to you?
That is the church I belong to.
But you didn't join that.
But
Bethel.
But then I went, what year?
That's not the problem.
Oh,
1911. I'm wondering, what kind of things do you do in spare time? Do you have any interest in reading? Or?
I do quite a bit of reading, but that's about
it. What kind of things you like to read?
Old stories.
Mm-hmm. Different novels.
Fictions and things like that. You see all the books over there in that bookshelf. I got quite a few books in there on colored on Malcolm X, and I got a book on about a colored a white man who took medicine and changed his color to black.
Black like me?
Yeah, and then I have a book on a woman doing the same thing, going through the South to find out. Then I said the other day I was going to read it again. I'm going to get into those books and start reading them again. And then I had a book on the North Pole and the colored man that I'm living in.
You crochet?
Not craft. Any. I used to crochet and I used to embroider, but since I've got arthritis when I can't handle my threads like I used to. Now I did, I joined Senior Citizens and I took on a project of making a macrame bag for my granddaughter. My granddaughter graduated out of high school and I ain't finished it yet. So you see how I took on a project. But I like to embroider. I embroidered a girl, Mrs. Bigelow, adopted daughter, who got married when her first child was born. I embroidered a christening dress for her. And that's the only thing that's important about that.
What kind of
plans
were supposed to be talking to Mrs. Matthews?
Who
was with
Anna Tuckman? Yeah.
Were you involved with that at any time?
No, I didn't belong to her organization. To the Douglas.
Do you know Mrs. Maddie Branch? Have you heard of her?
Oh, yes, I know her.
Do you know she's still living?
Oh, she passed away the other day.
Is she here? Do we have any more questions? Well, I just
about run out. No, really, I can't think of anything else.
Well, have you ever traced your family tree? Have you ever thought about that?
No, I haven't. My cousin, Elmira Johnson, who used to teach school with me, she has got up a family tree. Started up a family tree. I don't know whether she completed or not, but her, that would be on my mother's side, mother's father's their side. But as far as the and Scott's side, my grandmother's maiden name, we didn't, grandma didn't want it done. And she had some Indian in her, that's the picture of her. She had some Indian in her, and she didn't want to get messed up on that. So she'd be going down to try to find out. It wasn't worth it. She never done it. But the same my cousin, she did it on her, my mother's father's side, and Anderson's. So.
Well, we thank you, John, for listening.